Welcome to Rainer on Leadership. My name is Tom Rainer. I am joined by Sam Rainer. We are your leadership lessons and advice for the local church. We're going to be talking about old and new tech solutions that you can keep doing as you move into in-person services. We know we're in this transition period, even as you are listening to this. And some of this is going to be some level of research, at least anecdotal information that we're getting from our community at Church Answers. A lot of it is going to also be personal from what Sam has been doing at his church. So we'll be talking about that for just a moment. Thank you, Southeastern Seminary, for being our sponsor, our long-term sponsor. We so much appreciate what you're doing. They have 40 different degree programs, including the Master of Arts in Church Revitalization that is in partnership with Church Answers and Revitalize Network. Don't forget, the big freebie that we have here is their offering of the Church Future Indicator. And you get this and have several different staff members or leaders, lay leaders in your church take it and see what you think and see what the divergences are. Just download that and you can see that in the show notes. Learn more about all of these and Southeastern Seminary. Where are you going? Southeastern will help you get there. Sam, if there's anyone I know that is good at some of these things, you are among the best.
You're biased.
No, your mother's biased. I'm factual. You always tell me if you want encouragement, you call your mom. If you want facts, you call me.
Yes, that's true.
Yes,
but so, you're still biased.
Yeah, whatever. So I'm just ready to go through some of these because you really have some good lessons and you have applied them well within the context of your church. But we're hearing this from other church leaders as well. So let's just get into some of them and let you talk about them right away.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a weird world. So we're hopefully by the time this airs, coming off of the what was a pandemic. Still probably in a pandemic, but, you know, things are beginning to open up again. Some states are, you know, loosening their guidelines and, you know, this is good news that we're moving in the right direction. But when everything kind of hit, what happened, and this was a strange phenomenon, we pushed back into some old tech solutions while also rapidly embracing some new tech solutions. Right. I mean, you saw churches doing drive-in church again. This is something that Robert Schuller championed in the 1950s.
Pre-Crystal Cathedral.
This is how he got his start, was doing drive-in church. It was revolutionary 70 years ago. And so you see churches doing this again. And maybe it was great for the churches that did it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying they fell back into some old tech solutions. I know that I saw a study that said that phone calls were growing more rapidly than internet usage during the pandemic. So In order to stay connected, people picked up their phones again. Now they're probably smartphones. They're not necessarily landlines, but instead of the internet, we went back to phone calls. So again, pushing back into some old tech stuff. I know that our church wrote a lot of handwritten letters to our neighbors, to our people in our church, to our teachers. You know, we just sat down and wrote a whole lot of letters. Now, I don't know that there's anything more, but basically no tech than snail mail letters. All of that's great. At the same time, we also started embracing some new technology for digital services, for groups. You're talking Zoom. Now, Zoom groups kind of became a thing. Don't know that they will continue. They probably will for some churches. The idea of digital groups, though, is a very real concept now. That's a very new tech sort of thing. So what this did, and it was just a fascinating world that we experienced, and to some degree, I'm assuming some are still right in the middle of it, is this the weird parallel between old tech and new tech. I think it's probably better than not. I think it's good for the church.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think this is probably a helpful place for us to be because we're learning some things that we're learning what's most important in all of this.
You know, I have tried to follow your lead on handwritten letters, and I ask Amy to get me a nice big box of cards and letters, envelopes, I should say, to send to people. And, you know, I was going to commit to one a week, just one a week. I want to tell you how successful it's been. I've used two pieces of stationery, and she bought it a little over a year ago. So I'd still got to get to that. I am task oriented, so I have to put it on my list. That's the only way I'm going to get it done.
Now, the question is, if you sent the letter, would anyone be able to read your handwriting?
That is true. Even my printing is bad.
I didn't know you had cursive.
That's true. That is true. But yeah, I love it. I love it. And here's another thing that you can do that is on the new tech solution. I cannot overemphasize how important the email list is. The email list is something that keeps you in regular contact, of course, digitally. And it's more of the new school solution, the technology solution. But it gives you the opportunity, and we've discovered this with many organizations that are non-church organizations, but nonprofits have certainly been using this, for-profits have been using this. It is a great way to stay in touch with your church. And I'm on your email list, Sam, and I'm one of those that not only gets it, I open it as well. So I'm part of your open rate because your church is very faithful about consistently mailing to the email list.
Yes. So we call them touch points of communication. You need as many as you can have. So I think I counted them up a few weeks ago, and 25 to 30 different ways that we communicate to our church.
Wow.
One of the ways is the email list. Now, that's coupled with social media, that's coupled with the texting system that we send out. There's all different ways that we communicate, but your email list is critically important. And if we learned anything during the pandemic, it was how important communication is. Mm-hmm. And now is the time. So we're coming out of a pandemic where some churches are beginning to gather again. What should we keep doing? That's the question that we're asking for this podcast. You should absolutely keep building your email list. Get as many people into that email list as you can. And you may say, well, we've got social media, or we've got this or that. We have texting systems. Here's the thing about social media. You don't own the platform.
So true.
You don't own. You may say, well, I've got the handle. Well, you don't own it. And at any point, the algorithm could change, and what do your people see and what do they not see? You don't have any control over that. You may say, well, we've got everyone's cell phone numbers. And, you know, while people do keep their cell phone numbers more now than they used to, they do change quite often. But one thing that doesn't change a whole lot is somebody's email. And if you have somebody's email, you know, likely you're going to be able to send it to them and it's going to get to the right place. Now, you can talk open rates and how to increase your open rates and all of that, but your email list is going to be critically important. Now is the time to be building your email list as a church. And that sounds like something out of the early 2000s, right?
Right.
You know, that's almost an old tech solution now. You know, I know some of our listeners are saying, well, our young people don't have email accounts. And, you know, some young people don't. And I get that. But the vast majority of your people right now do. And so being able to access them through the email account and communicate to them through an email account is very important. So
the most important point that I picked up on in this particular area was you own your list. It is not controlled by Twitter or Facebook or by YouTube or some social media channel. You own it. And so we saw a number of companies 6-7 years ago go bankrupt because they were so dependent upon Facebook algorithms for their marketing. And they did not have alternatives. And when Facebook decided to change some things, some companies went under. They did not own their Facebook channel, so they were not able to make the changes quickly enough. Like that point. All right, keep moving people towards online giving. You've been pretty successful there.
Yes, I think that what do you keep doing? Well, I know a lot of churches have learned that online giving produces consistency. It creates stability in your giving patterns. So you need to continue whatever strategies you were doing to onboard people into online giving. And, you know, I know that we've seen our giving units now surpass the 50% mark. It just keeps going up a little bit every week that people are coming on to online giving for us. And we were
around
20%.
Yeah.
So we've seen quite an increase there. We're still going to offer other ways to give, of course, but we really want people to automate their giving and to give online. And you need to continue that strategy. So all of the things that you were doing to help onboard people to online giving, you need to continue. I sent out a letter to the church. And anytime a you know, a pastor, a lead pastor says I or we, what he means is somebody else did it. So I had my financial director write it and send it out. So I don't want to take too much credit there, but and we sent it to everyone and said, here's how you get online. Well, maybe we should do that every year. Maybe we should encourage people and celebrate those who move to online giving, not neglecting those who give through other means, of course, but it's better to have people online. So we've made that shift. We will continue to promote online giving and to encourage as many people to be on board as possible.
You know, all digital is not recurring and all recurring is not digital. Let me give you an example of that. All digital is not recurring. I give to your church, my church, digitally, but it's not recurring. I have to go in. No, I don't have to. I have chosen to go in.
No, you have to because mom's told you to.
No. It's not recurring, though. I actually give by punching a button every month.
Right, but you have to do it.
Okay.
Because mom's told you to do it.
I have to do it, but it's not automated. I have not chosen the automated path. You understand
Correct.
What I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying.
It's not passive for me. I have to actively go in.
You have to remember to go online to give.
And the reason there are different reasons behind that, including some technology issues, but I'm not going to get into that. But that is one way that is digital, but it is not recurring or automated. And then you can have some recurring giving that is not classical digital. And that would be like having your bank draft your account. And I know there's digital involved in that, but it's not the classic digital. But they're all very helpful. And anything we can do that we have done during the pandemic that we can do moving forward would be very helpful. Continue on.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, this is really, we talked briefly about it, but I kind of want to expound upon it is, you know, keep making your phone calls and keep writing your letters. You know, we sat down and we, as a staff, I have a staff, so I know not all of our listeners have a staff, but you know, if you don't, then, you know, your leaders in your church, we just broke down our membership list and just started calling people. And, you know, we're trying to make 3 or 4 phone calls a day, each person, you know, that adds up over time. We're hoping to, by the time the pandemic ends, to be able to have said, we called every single person in the church, at least the ones that we had a cell phone for, a landline for. Where obviously we started with those who are elderly, those who would, you know, have some health issues. So, you know, we prioritized the list, but ultimately we're trying to get to everyone. And why wouldn't you keep doing that? You know, and not that you need to call everyone all the time, but why not once a year or at least every couple of years? Just say, all right, guys, it's, you know, time to sit down and make our phone calls. And we're, you know, we're going to spend 6 weeks, you know, 10 weeks calling 1 or 2 people a day. I think that's healthy. I think that's good. And same with the writing of the letters that we brought up before. It might be good to, we write letters as thank yous to people who kind of go above and beyond to celebrate the things that we feel like we want to do as a church. So when we catch somebody doing something, we're like, ooh, that is what we want to celebrate. That is who we want to become as a church. That's the letter that's going to get written. Yep. Because you become what you celebrate. I know I've said that before, but you absolutely become what you celebrate. And if you want to move the culture in a certain direction, you got to celebrate it. So phone calls, writing letters, that's old tech. It doesn't scream cutting edge at all, but I do believe it's something that needs to continue.
A new tech solution that you should keep doing as you go to in-person services is keep your options open for groups. For video calls. Let me give you what we're finding early. We think that the two areas, not we think, the early research indicates that the two areas where the church will continue to have a heavy in-person emphasis will be the worship services, as you would expect, and what we call ongoing groups. In other words, you have the same, you're meeting with similar people every single week or on a regular basis. In traditional churches, they've been called Sunday school, and other churches, community groups, home groups, life groups, and the list goes on and on. Those are ongoing. They're open-ended. However, what we have been seeing is that many of the closed-in groups, which are short-term studies usually, 5, 6, 7 weeks, maybe 8, Those may go more and more to video calls like Zoom or other platforms, just simply because it's not one more expectation for people to be there, and it's more content driven than it is relational driven. Relational always works better in person. Content, you want to study a doctrine, you want to go through some type of new book that has great information. You may do that with a closed-in type of system, and you use that with video conferencing. So be open, I guess, is what we're saying here, Sam, to the new tech solution with some of your ministries through video conferencing.
Yeah, we've actually had the opportunity to plant groups with the pandemic.
Wow. And
yeah, I think we've planted, I want to get this number right, 3, maybe 4 different groups of people who were not previously involved. And the way that we've done that, it's a lot of young families that time is just kind of an issue for them. And they meet at like 8:30 at night. And that's after the kids go to bed, then they have their Zoom time with each other. So, you know, will that carry forth? Probably not as an all-in strategy, because a lot of people are going to desire to meet in person. But we have kind of asked the question, is this a good bridge for our groups to where, you know, hey, Sunday morning's just a tough time. You know, I've got little kids. They take naps. And by the time we get home, you know, we've heard all sorts of things, which I'm sure our listeners have heard a million different times as to why people don't come to groups. I still firmly believe that on-site groups connected to the worship service is a fine way to go and a good way to go. But could we enhance that? Could we draw people in? Could we potentially get some new people by doing digital groups? Maybe they could gather once a month. Maybe their group is digital, and then once a month they're doing get-togethers. I mean, there's all sorts of creative ways.
Hybrid really fascinates me, and you're right. I see that possibility.
So you're still incarnational, but it's not the, you know, it's a bit overbearing to say, well, you're in a group, you're there for life, you need to be here every week. You know, that appeals to me. I like that, but that doesn't necessarily appeal to everyone. So you're talking about shorter term groups, the groups that may be ongoing. I think there's a lot of different creative ways that we can think about groups. I mean, we're still in a paradigm that was created in the 1700s by Robert Raikes in England. I think the phrase is, we've got to win the rowdy poor for Christ. So he brought the kids in, they had Sunday school, they learned how to read from the Bible. And from that came this paradigm of groups on site on Sunday morning, you know, lecture style. And those are all fine. And I am still a big fan of that model. But I think we can ask ourselves the question now with new technology, after over 300 years, is it time to maybe think of some different ways of doing our groups?
Some innovative church persons in America heard about what Robert Raikes was doing in the 18th century, and they said, maybe we need to do that here. And they expanded it. His was just for children.
Correct.
Primarily the children who worked in the coal mines and places like that on Sunday. And he wanted a school for them, so it became Sunday school. It jumped over the Atlantic, and adults started becoming part of it. And predominantly Baptist churches, not exclusively, but predominantly Baptist churches grabbed it and turned it into Sunday school. Maybe in the 21st century, there is an opportunity for some new models. Let me tell you what is happening with my community group and your brother's church. For the listener, in case you have not heard this before, Sam is my pastor in Florida, Jess is my pastor in Tennessee, and this is my Tennessee pastor, his younger brother. We're the only group that meets on campus on Sunday morning because he didn't have any other rooms for it. It's a church facility situation. All rooms are used for kids except us, and we're the real old group there. We're the oldest in age. We are now meeting at 11 o'clock on Zoom after the 10 o'clock service. But the name of our group is 8:33, which was the time we did meet. And we've now brought in a new person in our group, Jay, and we told him 8:33 meets at 11, and he's really confused. He said, so do we meet, what are you saying, 11 or 8:33? And I said, yes. So we are making adjustments even as we speak, but my guess is, once we get back in person, it'll go back to the 8:33 service. And I know you're familiar with 8:33 name.
Yeah, it's kind of an inside family joke, because when Jess was growing up, he only knew one time. You'd ask him what time it is, and it was always
8:33.
33 for whatever reason. He had that stuck in his head.
And he pronounced it 833.
Yes. And he loved shiny pennies. And we used to trade him we used to give him shiny pennies for his dollar bills and quarters.
Yes.
Y'all he took advantage of our little brother.
Not me. Well, the whole point of this, Sam, is there are old tech and new tech solutions, and both there are many good ones that you should move forward as you move toward the in-person service. That's the essence of what we're saying.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that probably won't continue after all this is said and done is drive-in church. But hey, for those who are doing it and getting your people to partake, good for you. You can thank Robert Schuller of all people.
Well, thank you once again for being with us on Rainer on Leadership. My name is Tom Rainer. I've been joined with Sam Rainer. We're delighted to have you as part of our listening audience. Once again, thank you, Southeastern Seminary, for being our ongoing sponsor. Don't forget, again, that Church Future Indicator. Download it again. See what differences of perspective you may have. And continue to join us twice a week. And we'll continue to help you get your church healthier as we seek to do that together.